Well, we are back. I want to thank everyone who's taken a moment to listen and subscribe to our podcast. Both Nick and I have been overwhelmed by the positive response to this project. We even had listeners as far as Canada and Brazil. What do you think of that reach our little podcast is already making, Nick?
Yeah, that's incredible. When we sat down and we're talking about a vision, I know we started and we intended, you know, to reach out to our Worcester County people. But we always had that thought in the back of our minds, like, yeah, you know, we do want it to grow. We want to get that reach and that audience out there. But to think on just that first episode that we're already expanding that reach, that's incredible.
Absolutely. Go ahead, Nick. I know you want to say it.
I can't do it. I can't do it. Which brings us to our first piece of follow-up. I mean, this is exciting, right? This is our first piece of follow-up for our podcast.
It is.
As we listen back and you hear all those wonderful things. One of them we noticed, and how could you not, the repetition of the phrase, absolutely.
It's our signature.
That is going to be our signature, apparently. And if anybody out there, if you should feel so inclined to let Carrie and I know just how many times we said absolutely and hit us up. Carrie, I think you have some kind of plan for that, right?
We do. Well, here in Worcester County, we actually have a spirit shop. And as part of that, we have some fun sticker packs. They don't necessarily have to be Worcester County Public Schools stickers, but we do have some fun ones that we're willing to send your way. So if you want to send us that count of our absolutelys, you can do so by just sending us a message on our Twitter, which is at Future Ready Cast. That is at FutureReadyCast.
So we also spoke very quickly last time about goals and resolutions. And I know we said we're not really into that sort of thing, but I mean, maybe something to think about is that word, absolutely.
Is it? I really feel like if we're going to do that, we should make it almost like a hydration game. So everybody is taking a sip of that water to get good and hydrated every time we say that. Absolutely.
You know what? I couldn't agree more. Absolutely. Anyway, Carrie, as much of I would like to thank our listeners are not here to hear you and I. What they are here and who they are here is to listen to our guests that we are able to sit down and have a little bit of conversation with. And our guest this time is somebody who I am incredibly excited about. Our guest this time is Matt Pullen, who is an Apple Distinguished Educator, but that's only a piece of his story. He's a lecturer. He is an educator by profession and spends a lot of time not only working with students and teachers, but also like giving presentations on all things Apple and all the skills he has developed and lessons that he has learned along the way. So I'm just looking forward to being able to pick his brain for a little while about that whole process, how the process of becoming an Apple Distinguished Educator, what that opens up to you as far as resources are concerned, because that's a whole community, that ADE community that does really great, really exciting things out there and uses iPads and Macs and all Apple products in crazy, creative and interesting ways. So I'm really looking forward to just being able to talk with him and see what he has to share.
Yes, I'm really looking forward to it as well. I really tried hard there not to say absolutely. I just want you to know.
I could see it.
But I think it's going to be a great opportunity for us to learn all about those Apple resources. But he's also our first international guest. So when we were talking about reach earlier, he's actually from South Wales. So we are very fortunate to be able to speak with him today. So I know I can't wait to learn from Matt. So let's get right to it. Are you ready?
I am more than ready to talk to Matt. So let's see what he has to say.
Welcome to the Future Ready EdCast, a podcast dedicated to digging into the educational issues of the moment,
providing tools and tricks to help you take your educational practice into the future, and above all, having rich discussions with leaders meant to inspire and uplift you. I'm Nick.
And I'm Carrie. And this is the Future Ready EdCast.
Well, welcome to the show, Matt. We appreciate you joining us as we talk about educational technology, which I know is near and dear to you as it is to all of us, especially in our circumstances now. So what we would like to get started with is just let you kind of introduce yourself to our audience. So would you mind sharing a little bit about your background in education, your current role, so maybe a little bit about what your day-to-day looks like, and especially the experience of becoming an Apple Distinguished Educator?
Yeah, so I started in education back in 2001, qualified as a secondary level PE teacher, teaching students 11 to 18-year-olds. No technology background whatsoever. I probably have a geeky passion for using technology, but no formal training in using it. So the start few years of my career as a PE teacher was non-tech, nothing involved in it. We were provided laptops as teachers, but as a PE teacher, you know, I'm not taking a laptop outside onto the playing fields because it rains a lot of the time in the UK. It was actually on my honeymoon in New York, actually, that I was there when iPad got released, and never one to kind of take an opportunity. I purchased an iPad whilst I was on my honeymoon. And much to my surprise, my wife asked me as to why I was needing this toy.
I'm sure.
And I said, well, it'd be great. Yeah, it'd be really useful in school to work with the students. Now, this was the original iPad, so it didn't have the camera at the time. But I kind of started in my kind of justification to my wife, kind of started to think, well, actually, there might be something in this. Is there an opportunity to show students things whilst I'm outside? If it's something I can't model as a teacher, maybe they can see it for themselves, even if it is on a smaller screen. But it's something that I couldn't do before. That obviously had great success. Then iPad 2 came out and the camera was with it, completely changed my teaching. All of a sudden had the opportunity to film students and show what they were doing to themselves rather than me tell them what they'd done. So that was my kind of introduction to using technology. Carried on doing that for a few years, started to try to help other members of the team within PE, and managed to develop that. And then the self given role of learning technologist back in what was it, 2011. It wasn't a school given title, it was a self given title to try to support other people, like, you know, evangelize about, look at this thing that we can do. You know, people were still not really understanding what an iPad was. It was just a big iPhone still then. But trying to show people it changes what learning looks like. We changed our academic PE courses so that students were no longer having to write everything down. They were able to visually show what they were doing. They were making kind of early versions of podcasts, I guess, to talk about what they were doing, and getting good results. Kind of felt like I hit a bit of a barrier then. I wanted this to be something which would develop. Like I said, it was 2011. It was very, very new. So a lot of skeptics around that use. So I actually felt maybe this isn't the place for me now. I want to go somewhere else and help other people. And found myself actually working with a consortium of schools, really, to support individual teachers in who were, I suppose, similar to me in the sense that they'd seen an opportunity. They'd probably bought into buying some iPads or bought an iPad for themselves. I was in a position to maybe work with those individuals to try to upskill them. So I got into the world of consultancy, did consultancy for probably about 2 years, and ultimately did a consultancy job for the university, which is where I now work, to support their lecturers on the education program. So teaching 19, 20 year olds how to become teachers. And that led to a job. So because I'd done some consultancy for them, it just so happened being in the right place at the right time, a job came up, and I applied for the job and got the job. So my current role is working in higher education, working with future teachers, showing them, you know, teaching and learning with technology, and how it can be integrated, and not as a standalone ICT set of skills, but something which actually can change what education looks like.
Fantastic. What I really love you, and so you've obviously had taken that initiative, that idea, you know, putting your passion, your interest in technology and fusing that into your day-to-day and your other passion of helping learners and helping teachers. But what I really like about your story and your background you shared is, I know you said it kind of jokingly, that self-imposed title, but having that vision of not only is technology going to be important and do great things, but there are these devices that are going to enable that and push that further. And so having that initiative to not only see that, but take advantage of it, that, you know, I just think that's great. And that's something that technology opens up for everybody now in education.
I think the one bit of the story that I missed out that you alluded to in your first question was actually the role of being an Apple Distinguished Educator, because that, I think, possibly was the catalyst for me to say, I can do more. And this is bigger than me. So after giving myself a title, you realize that I'm not the only person in the world who's given themselves this title. And you start to connect with people, be it through social media or just through networks that you come across, where you realize you're not the only person in the world doing this, and you don't feel quite so alone. And it was actually when I was trying out a pilot with some iPads in the school, I got a hold of a company who loaned me 40 iPads to just try something. I wanted to try and prove it to leadership that this would work. And the person who worked for that company said, you should have a look at this Apple Distinguished Educator program. You sound like the sort of person that they're looking for to be part of this community. So I knew nothing about it, right? I put together my 2-minute video. I submitted this thing, had no idea really what I was applying for. And then got selected. So that was 2013. And then you meet this worldwide kind of group of people who all think the same as you, all passionate about what technology can do. But ultimately, it's about the learning and the difference it can make for students. And I think that then gave me the confidence to step away. It was actually just after becoming an AD that I realized that there is something in this. There is a worldwide kind of movement where people are thinking differently. And I now have that support network, and I'm not a lone voice anymore. I might still be the lone voice in my situation, but actually I can lean on other people to check if I'm still sane and the things I'm saying still actually make sense and they're purposeful. So the Apple Distinguished Educator community kind of really supported that confidence in myself to say there's something in this.
Yeah, no, that last piece, that think differently, that's such a powerful, you know, we always attribute that to Apple and that way of thinking, but it transcends so much more than that, you know, especially relating that and involving that in education. You know, just because something has always been done a certain way doesn't mean that that is necessarily the best way or the way that it should be done. You know, maybe there is a different way. You know, I love that. And I think, you know, what you were sharing and speaking about that whole program, like, embodies that idea.
I think, you know, when you go through that moment of kind of putting yourself out there, stepping outside the box, like I said, giving myself a title to try and do something which wasn't my job, which meant it was always an additional 10-20% on top of your workload anyway, but passionately believing that it can make a difference, you'll go through those moments where you doubt yourself, you will get questioned by lots of people, you question whether or not you're capable of doing these things, and then realizing that there are other people that have been through the same thing or going through the same thing, and then you can talk about what's working, what isn't working, have they had successes, could you try something the way they've tried it, and not necessarily in terms of working with the students because you can see that working yourself, but definitely in how would you go about convincing people? How do you go about getting people on board? And this isn't just this kind of crazy idea that this should be a way forward, but actually getting people on board to listen to you about the teaching and learning. And it, I suppose back then it was very much, oh, well, that's just shiny equipment, right? People can't afford it. So it's a luxury that people can't afford, when you know deep down, actually, we almost can't afford not to do this for some of our students.
That's interesting that you shared that. We're kind of a new Apple school system here in Worcester. So as our teachers are kind of going through this process, one of the structures that I like that Apple has offered is that Apple teacher route. And then it kind of dovetails into the Apple Distinguished Educator. Did you participate in the Apple teacher program?
You know, I've got to say, I absolutely wish that was around when I started. And it, like, makes me sound really old when I say this. Like, I wish that was around. It was only 8 years ago or 9 years ago now that I became an Apple Distinguished Educator. But that definitely helps you place the role of the technology into the teaching and learning outcomes and understand the application of the applications and how they can be used in a teaching and learning environment. And certainly not seeing them as standalone apps, like, you know, Pages, it's not a word processing tool. It can do word processing stuff, but it's not a word processing tool because it can also do so much more, and Keynote and Numbers the same. And I think if I'd had Apple Teacher, then one, for me, it would have really helped concrete my depth of understanding, but equally would have been a really good platform to help get other people on board, because it's the way it's designed to step through the different skill levels. I have done it since, obviously, but definitely gone around it a different way. It's definitely, like, as you said, it's kind of that stepping stone, isn't it, towards becoming the Apple Distinguished Educator, if that's a passion for you, because it gives you that real breadth of grounding of understanding of the different applications and their uses.
So in a nutshell, you'd recommend it?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And deeper than the skills, I think some people kind of look at the Apple Teacher program and see it as the learning the skills and taking the badges. I think the one thing for me, although the badging system probably came a lot later for me in terms of I kind of already knew those things, it's not being egotistical, but I'd been using the device for quite a long time, so I understood the workings of lots of the apps. But the Apple Teacher Learning Center itself, the platform, goes deeper with lots of new ideas. So, you know, for instance, during lockdown, people were putting together ideas around creative applications for homeschooling and things that you could do to support you in that sense. And so it's always building on top of those basic skills that you're learning and showing you how you can take that to the next level to apply in your classroom.
Yeah, thank you so much for reiterating something that's really important to me. And we've been... it's been part of our training that we've been passing on to our teachers in our county is, you know, there's a lot of great apps out there and things available for the iPad and other devices, but sometimes the power of those Apple native tools get overlooked, you know, and sometimes we want to run to the shiny new thing that everybody's talking about, but we can walk that back and be like, you know, we can do that same thing. We can achieve that same goal. And perhaps even do it better using Keynote or Pages or those built-in tools. And I agree with you. I think that Apple Teacher platform is a great place to start. We are in the fortunate position, like Carrie mentioned, that we're early in this journey. And we do have a professional learning specialist that is working with our county and working with our teachers and constantly reinforcing that idea of the importance and the power of those native tools.
I think the thing that you mentioned there, that the you know, there are lots of apps around for technology, and obviously companies are making apps all the time, and that's a whole business in itself. What I always kind of fear, though, is that if we keep adding more and more apps for our students, then that's it almost becomes an ICT thing where we're teaching them how to use apps all the time and we're forgetting the ultimate purpose is to help them learn. So, you know, just for example, earlier today, I did a session for a group of early years teachers in the UK. So teaching, you know, 3 to 5 year olds. And we just looked at Keynote, and Keynote, if you're familiar with Keynote, is considered a presentation tool. If you're teaching 3-year-olds, it's not a presentation tool. It's a drawing tool. It's an animation tool. It's, you know, any number of other things. And once they understand how to use that tool, they can use that tool in a number of ways. And I think that's the key thing is, you know, yes, we could download a million apps onto our devices, but we have to remember that with each new app, we have to teach them how to use the app. If you can get them to understand the breadth of fewer apps, then they're going to spend more time thinking about its application and how they can learn with it. And it's very much kind of a fine line when you're using the tools in the classroom to make sure that the focus always remains on the learning and not on the tool itself.
That's exactly the piece of what you just shared that I wanted to come back to. I loved it. You put it so nicely. We can get lost in that idea of technology. And the learning is not about the technology and the new apps and the new device. It, you know, we always come back to the learning, to the skills, to the information that we want to acquire. And we want to make sure that remains our focus rather than the tool.
Yeah, definitely. It's a key thing. I think, you know, you can easily get lost in trying to find the next big app that will teach your subject for you. And funny enough, the thing I said to the group of teachers earlier today was be careful what you wish for if you want to find the app that teaches your subject, because if I tell you, or if I tell your leaders about the app that can teach your subject for you, maybe they don't need you anymore. So
so true. Now, just as we're kind of talking about using the technology, and I know we're kind of talking about stripping it back down to the basics to really focus on learning, but are there some good tips or tricks that you might want to give some of our listeners if they're just starting out with their iPad journey?
The one tip I would always say is find a use for the iPad that you will use every day, because it will build up your confidence of just having the device near you. I think that the key thing for me, and I know it's going to be different depending on what you're teaching, but the key thing for me was the camera on the device, because it's a great tool for evidencing things. And so if you kind of work with that in mind, you know, there is a camera on this device that I can easily capture something and show it back to the students in whatever format it is, you know, either capturing them learning something practically or capturing the work that they've done and sharing it with everybody else. At least I'm in a habit now of seeing the tool as a support mechanism in the classroom, which means I'm always going to have it near me. Once you then get familiar with the fact that it's a tool that you use just day-to-day teaching, I think the fear factor of the device is gone, because you've kind of overcome that initial hurdle of you know, having the technology at your hands. You know, definitely, you know, if we go back to sort of mentioning the Apple Teacher Program, there are so many things in there just within the initial iPad badging section, which just talk about how you can use notes and how you can use the camera app and how you can use Siri and some of the accessibility features that just make your life just a little bit easier. If I allude to just being able to turn on dictation, you know, the ability to be able to record what I'm saying and turn it into text might save me 30 seconds in giving feedback on a piece of student work. I haven't hugely changed what I've done with technology. You know, we're not all of a sudden looking at app creation and augmented reality, but I've saved myself maybe 30 seconds per script because I've used my voice to write the feedback as opposed to in writing out myself. Well, with every 30 seconds that you save, you've given yourself more time to maybe explore something in more detail. If you save yourself half an hour a day because of that, that half an hour could be spent talking to a colleague who's used their iPad, maybe for making a different resource, which is more accessible to someone. So it's definitely a slow learning process where you almost need to find that hook for yourself. What is this going to do for me in the short term to build up my confidence, to then think, right, now I have that freedom to find out new approaches. The other thing is, I suppose, on from that point, is talk to other people about what they're doing. Maybe as educators, we're not great at sharing so much. Certainly in the UK, we can be quite private about the things that we've done, whether we worry that people might think that we're shouting too loud and thinking too much of ourselves. But definitely, you know, when you try something in your classroom, no matter how small it is, if you have a success, tell someone about it, because that could change their approach, but equally cement to you that something you've tried makes a difference, because your students are the biggest measure of the impact that you do. Because when you see a breakthrough with a student who was never able to show you something before, that all of a sudden now you've given them a way to access learning in a different way, ultimately that's what we're doing the job for, is to change how students access things.
Yeah, for sure. We always want to make that education as accessible to students as we can. I love that you gave the shout out to the accessibility features of the iPad, because there's, even now with iOS 14 and what has been added to the Apple Pencil with Scribble, they have opened that device to, I mean, virtually any learner, you know, any ability level. There's some way to interact with that device that connects with you and feels natural, and it's something to really, you know, to utilize and take advantage of. You mentioned having those celebrations, you know, if you can free up that time talking to the colleague, you know, asking questions, see how they're using their device, which is a great support and level of support as they're getting comfortable with those devices. As you were coming through on your journey and you were picking up these skills and these ideas, Was there a particular person or a group that you reached out to for support? Or was there anybody that you can think back on that, you know, I was starting out and this person, they were, you know, they were huge or instrumental in getting me that support and helping me with that confidence to try new things?
So not in the first few years. That was the lone wolf years. I think when I became an AD, that was definitely the time. And I was quite fortunate that there was, when I was at my institute, our local institute for Europe, Middle East, India and Africa, that there were people local to me. Twitter for me had only kind of just taken off. So 2013, when I became an AD, Twitter had just taken off. So I did rely on those kind of face-to-face connections. And like I said, there were people kind of, you know, within 30 miles of where I was teaching that were also doing some great things. So that was my support network in that first sense. But then from then, it was Twitter. It was, you know, everyone was sharing what they were doing. I've never used Twitter on a personal level. So it's always been a professional kind of connections for me. And I suppose once you make those kind of in-person connections and follow them on Twitter, because you think that's a good way for us to keep in touch, and then you see who they're conversing with, and then you pick up who they're retweeting and comments, you do build that kind of, I suppose, global kind of connectivity with what people are doing. And I'm quite an introvert person. I'm not a big fan of shouting out loud about what I do, but I feel that I can do that on Twitter. Maybe there's a certain element of I can hide behind the screen with that.
There's a lot of folks that feel that way, I think.
Yeah, I think it is a common. I think ultimately teachers do what they do for the greater good and not for themselves, right? So it's almost alien to then put yourself on a pedestal and shout about what you do, because you're doing it because you want to benefit the masses in front of you in the classroom. So it's probably counter to your personality in that respect. But having said that, you know, I suppose Apple events give you a bit of a platform to talk to people in a less scary environment, because you know ultimately they're in the room because they believe fundamentally the same thing as you. So having those opportunities to then stand up in front of people, as frightening as they are, you know you're in kind of safe hands when you start to talk about those things. So, and again, you get such amazing feedback from people asking questions to say, you know, how did you do that? That's a really, really nice idea. I never considered that. Or you should speak to this person in my school because they're doing something similar, and I think you'd be able to share some good ideas. So it's ultimately all about making those connections, and you're only going to make those connections if you reach out to people or share what you do.
I love that. I love that you're talking about collaboration and teachers working together to support one another, and also kind of questioning themselves and saying to one another, oh, I see that you're doing this, and how can I implement that in my classroom? I think those conversations are so important. Now, a lot of our educators are probably going to be listening to this podcast and wondering what their next steps might be to becoming an Apple Distinguished Educator like yourself. So do you want to talk about that process a little bit?
Yeah. So the process is every 2 years, obviously slightly delayed. There would have been a class this year, because it's every odd year. So 2021, there would have been a class, but with COVID, things have obviously disrupted that as much as everything else. But that's kind of the cycle. It's a 2 year kind of onboarding process. When I went through the process, like I said, I didn't really know anything about it back in 2013. So it was, I went onto the website, so search for Apple Distinguished Educators. And the process was to create a 2-minute video of the things that you are doing with technology that are making a difference in the classroom. I think initially you feel under pressure because it's making a video, right? And you think, well, I'm not a movie maker. It, just to say to people, it's not about the quality of the movie, it's the content of the movie. And that kind of echoes, I suppose, what people within the program believe as well. It's not how flashy you can make something look, it's the fact that the thing you're doing has an impact. So yeah, two-minute video talking about what you do and visually share what you do. And then when I went through the program, I had to write just in four different sections around four different topics of how do I spread that message? How do I talk to other people, be it locally, you know, within my own school or slightly wider than that within a wider community about the things that I'm doing. So again, you kind of, you know, refer to that, you know, local meetups with other educators that might be doing the same thing, or events that you go to on an education stage, but you advocate the things that you're doing with technology. So that still is core, because it's about, okay, it's great that you're doing this in your classroom, but as an ADE, the program is about sharing and collaborating on a wider scale. My suggestion, advice to anyone who wants to get into the program is really start capturing some of those things now. I worked with a group of educators a few years ago that similarly wanted, you know, that was their goal. It was to focus on where they wanted to be. The first thing I said to them was, what you do now should not be about becoming an ADE. What you do now should be about reflecting on what you do that's good. And if as a result of it you become an ADE, then that's a bonus. So I said, look, just start capturing the impact of the work that you're having. Start capturing some of the thoughts from colleagues that you've worked with and have seen some of the things you've done. Capture moments in lessons where you've had those breakthrough moments, light bulb moments with students, where something you've done has changed an outcome for someone. And if you can gather all of that, you've got enough content for a 2-minute video, because you've probably got the images and the stories to tell. So that's kind of the way around I try to broach it. You know, never do it because you think that becoming an ADE is the ultimate goal. Because actually, when you become an ADE, the outcome is that you have reflected very, very carefully on the impact of what you do. So I guess the rubber stamping maybe of being an ADE is just proving to you that you're doing really, really good things in the classroom.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that reflection piece is so important and necessary. You know, for it doesn't matter what level you are, that first year teacher starting out or that veteran teacher that's been there for a while, having that self-reflection and saying, you know, the tools, the strategies, what I'm doing is, how is it impacting my kids? You know, the students that I'm working with, you know, is it enhancing their learning or their understanding? And that having that reflection piece is big, is important. I wanted to come back to, you had mentioned a couple of things, and you said, you know, being a little bit of an introvert, having that aspect of your personality, you know, and kind of going against this idea of shouting out, you know, what you do and sharing what you're doing in your classroom. And just a couple of things. Number one, I'm glad that you do, because as you could tell from social media, you're between your YouTube channel and your Twitter feed. When I, in the classroom, that was where I went for a lot of ideas and to try things. And even now, when I'm thinking about ways to help out teachers or get them to look at tools or things in a different way, I use a lot of the things that you're posting and sharing as inspiration and guides to tailor and help them out with that. So I agree with you that, you know, a lot of teachers, that goes against their nature. You know, they don't, like you said, they don't want to put themselves on that pedestal. But you also don't realize who you're helping, you know, who you're actually reaching and giving something valuable. The other piece that I'm going to add on to that is, when you do that, take your shot, reach out to somebody. You know, you don't know what's going to happen. And having you here with us today, that it's a perfect example, because I said to Carrie when we were talking about who we were going to talk to and where this was going to go, I said, you know, I'm just going to reach out to Matt and see if he even gets back to me. You know, I'm sure he'll be very gracious and say no, thank you, and all these things. And you very, very graciously came back and were absolutely, I'd love to sit down and talk with you. And here we are. And so, number one, thank you for doing that and being willing. But again, goes back to that, you know, throw it out there, because you don't know, you know, what the reaction is going to be or what's going to happen.
Yeah, I think, you know, people don't believe me when I'm saying I'm an introvert. And I think it just depends on what you want to talk to me about. I think when it comes to technology, I'm very passionate about giving children an alternative. I spoke last year around this time, actually, at an event about the forgotten 20%, the students that in your classes might just traditional education just doesn't work for them. And what I saw being in the school I was in was that that 20% actually benefited from technology because it just gave them a voice. Ultimately, it just the barrier to learning was that they just couldn't sit down and write things for whatever reason. And technology gave them a voice and gave them a chance to do something different. And I think that stuck with me now, that ultimately my belief is that if I can put something out on Twitter and it impacts one person and that one person uses it in their classroom and it impacts one person, that's enough for me. You know, it's enough to know that that's potentially had an impact to change someone. You know, at heart, regardless of what job I ever do, I just want children to have chances in life. And I just think, yeah, if Twitter is a platform for good, where I can share something and someone can look at it and go, I'm going to try that and it might have an impact, then great. Because what an easy platform it is to share those messages around. I think when I became a consultant, the idea was that I can change more lives because I'm working at a different level of education because, you know, I can impact on more people in any one go. And I suppose Twitter's kind of just an extension of that. No one pays you for it on Twitter. It's just there. You just put those things out. So Nick, to echo what you said, you know, just reaching out to people and asking, one thing that I've noticed within the Apple Distinguished Educator Program, for example, is that there really are no egos in there. You know, you might think that people have a really, really high status in the world because you see them in a certain way, or they're always talking at events, or they've got a big presence on Twitter. But ultimately, they're there because the same thing that you believe in is important to them, and that is helping people. And so, like you said, when you reached out to me to talk on this, it's a no-brainer for me to come on because you value that what I say might have some use to the educators that you guys are working with. So, absolutely, my pleasure. So.
We appreciate that. And you can, I don't know if it'll help you rest easy or not, but thinking about that one person that you've had an impact on, it was definitely me. You know, I am at the very least that one that has seen your work, you know, some of the things that you share and really, really takes that to heart.
Thank you so much, Matt, for joining us today. Now, we appreciate you taking the time, and I'm sure our listeners will want to check out your work and kind of see those creative things that you're doing. So do you mind telling them where they can find you online?
Yeah, so you can find me on Twitter at MAT6453. And as Nick kind of said, you know, if you reach out to me, I will do my best to get back to you and answer questions or support in any way I can. But yeah, that's usually the easiest way to get in touch with me. So.
Yeah, that's right. And we'll have that as part of our show notes. We'll have, your bio, some of the background you shared with us, as well as your Twitter handle. And we'll also have a link to your YouTube page as well, because I know a lot of the things that you share on Twitter are those links in the videos that have originally been posted to YouTube. And again, like those are great. Those are really good tips. That take a lot of those tools and some of the things that we were talking about and just help you look at them in a different way and get a little bit more power, a little bit more engagement out of them.
Yeah.
Well, again, we want to thank you for talking with us today. I know I want to be respectful of your time. Some of the things you shared before we started recording, you obviously had a very busy day. It is now evening, your time. So the fact that you put in your whole day and then also agreed to sit down and spend some time with us afterwards. Again, not only do we greatly appreciate, but talks about that passion you have for education and sharing those ideas and that learning with everyone. So again, we just want to thank you for that and thank you for your time today.
My pleasure. Happy to talk about it anytime.
Well, Carrie, I don't know about you, but I really enjoyed sitting down and talking with Matt.
He was incredible. Honestly, everything that he talked about really spoke to teachers having tools to empower both themselves for efficiency and also empowering their students to really show creativity and how they are taking their learning to the next level.
Yeah, you can tell that what he was talking about, not only is it a large piece of who he is and speaks to, you know, his core beliefs and values, but it was also great to see that connection to Worcester County, the things that our teachers emphasize and that they believe and are part of their core values as well. It was just great to see those two things line up, and I don't think it could go in any better than it did. I appreciate you the comments you made that as we were sitting here, you know, talking about different things that you could tell my, as I was audibly and visually fangirling out about Matt and some of the things he was saying. And that was absolutely true. I love the stuff that he's doing and the stuff that he's sharing. And the fact that being able to hear him speak about it and see that it is his authentic self, like that was just awesome for me.
Absolutely. And I'll be honest, I was fangirling myself. I mean, it really makes me want to dive into using some of these tools. Now, I know I'm not working directly in the classroom, but I can see so many benefits for anybody that's working in the field of education to be able to kind of utilize these tools in new ways and to try and think of different ways to tap into our own creativity to make our jobs more rich.
For sure. So once again, we just wanted to make sure that we thank Matt Pullen. And Matt is an Apple Professional Learning Specialist, but he is also a senior lecturer for the University of South Wales. And as he shared with us early on, he does focus on primary school educators. Matt is an educator by trade. He was a physical education instructor. So teaching, learning, all of those core values are a large piece of who he is and what he does and always have been. The Apple, the device, the technology piece, that was just an added bonus and a great way for us to connect and learn together. Wanted to focus on some of the things he talked about in his the Apple Distinguished Educator Program, all things relating to the iPad and the different skills you can develop and foster with that, and all of those related tools. For anybody that wants to see Matt's work, watch his videos, see more about what he does and how it speaks to him, and he looks at the creative side of all of these tools and all of these features. As he mentioned, you can follow him on Twitter. So that username again is Matt66453. So that's MAT66453. And we also have a link in the show notes to his YouTube channel, which that was one of the first ways that I came across him. I was trying to figure out how to do something with my iPad, found one of his great YouTube videos, his tutorials. From there, I found his Twitter feed, and then I've been hooked since.
Well, there you have it, folks. That's another episode of the Future Ready Edcast in the books. Both Nick and I want to say once again, thanks for listening, and we hope you'll encourage your colleagues to give us a listen and subscribe. And we're looking forward to next time.
Absolutely. Take care, everybody. I'll talk to you later, Carrie.
See you soon.